Today we're building a slice and edit riser for old school jungle and DNB tension moments in Ableton Live 12, and we're doing it with an automation first workflow. So instead of reaching for a generic noise sweep or a canned effects riser, we're going to take a chopped break, turn it into a playable slice phrase, and then automate the movement so it feels like it belongs in a proper break driven track. That's the key idea here. In jungle and DNB, the transition should feel rhythmic, not just cinematic. It should sound like the drums are being pulled forward under pressure. The best part is, once you build it this way, it stays flexible. You can keep editing the movement, resample it later, and even rechop the result for an extra layer of grime and character. First, choose your source material carefully. Don't think like a generic sound designer here. Think like a DNB producer. You want a break, a drum edit, or a percussion loop that already has movement in it. A jungle break with ghost notes is ideal. A snare-led fill works great too. Even a resampled drum and bass stab with percussion can work, if it has enough transient detail. If you're aiming for old-school jungle energy, look for something in that 160 to 175 BPM zone with a snare that can anchor the build. If the loop is too busy, keep it short. 1 to 2 seconds is often enough. You want enough detail to feel alive, but not so much that the slice edit turns into noise. Drag the audio into an audio track. If needed, warp it, but don't over-polish the feel. If the break already grooves, use Beats Warp mode and preserve the transient punch. If you want to stay safe, duplicate the track and keep one version untouched as your backup. That way one copy becomes your edit candidate, and the other stays as a clean reference. Now right-click the clip and choose Slice to New MIDI Track. For this style, the slicing method matters. If the break has clear transients and you want the natural drum articulation, slice by transient. If you want something more designed and rigid, slice by 1/8 or 1/16. If the source is already musical and you want predictable phrasing, slice by beat. Ableton will create a drum rack with your slices mapped out. This is where the workflow becomes powerful, because now you're not writing a big melodic part. You're shaping a performance out of a few selected fragments. Immediately simplify the rack. You do not need every slice. In fact, too many slices usually kills the identity. Keep maybe 6 to 12 of the best hits. You want contrast, a strong snare, a ghost note, a hat, maybe a noisy transient, maybe a low hit, maybe a reverse-like tail. Think of it like a small vocabulary that can build tension with intention. Now make the MIDI phrase itself feel like a rising performance, not a random fill. A really solid jungle riser shape is this. The first bar is sparse, the second bar gets busier, the third bar starts to accelerate, and the fourth bar becomes a tight roll or a final snare push. That arc works because it starts human and ends engineered, which is exactly the kind of tension contrast that lands well in old-school inspired drum music. If you want a classic vibe, let the snare be the hero. Recur the snare slice with increasing frequency and sprinkle ghost notes or hats between the hits. If you want a darker modern DNB feel, keep it more mechanical and repetitive. Less obvious fill, more controlled pressure. A useful way to hear it is like this. Bar 1 sounds filtered and narrow, almost underwater. Bar 2 begins to speak. Bar 3 opens up and accelerates. Bar 4 drives hard into the drop. Velocity matters here too. Don't flatten everything. Let the main snare hit sit strong, maybe around 100 to 127. Ghost notes can live much lower, maybe around 35 to 70. Hats and transient slices can sit in the middle. That dynamic contour makes the break breathe, and that breathing is part of the jungle language. Now we get to the core of this lesson. Automation first. Before you get lost in polish, decide what will actually move over time. In this style, the important moves are usually cut off. Resonance, gain, reverb, delay, saturation, and sometimes pitch. Those are the lanes that define the shape of the riser. A good stock device chain after the drum rack is auto filter, then saturator, then utility. If you want, you can add reverb or delay on a return track so the dry slice edit stays punchy while space blooms around it. Start with the filter. The filter is the most obvious motion, but don't rely on it alone. Open it from dark to bright over the phrase. If the source is muffled, start lower, maybe around 150 to 300 Hz. If it already has body, you can start higher, maybe around 500 Hz to 1.5 kHz. Resonance should be controlled. Around 10 to 35% is usually enough for tension without turning into a whistle. If you want a more aggressive, screaming lift, you can push higher, but be careful not to overdo it. Next, automate gain. A few dB of rise can do a lot. Think in the range of 2 to 6 dB over the phrase. That increase helps the build feel like it's leaning forward. Then add saturation. A little drive, maybe 2 to 6 dB, can give you grit and urgency. If you want a harsher old school or darker modern edge, go a bit further, but always listen to the transients. You want bite, not mush. Pitch movement is the other big ingredient. You can automate clip transposition or resample the output and pitch the audio up a few semitones. For old school character, small pitch steps often work better than one smooth glide. That stepped movement feels more like an edited break being pushed forward than a synth riser trying to be dramatic. If you want darker neuro-style tension, a slight upward pitch plus rising resonance and distortion can feel very effective. A strong 4-bar automation arc might look like this. In bar 1, almost nothing changes. In bar 2, the cutoff starts opening more clearly. In bar 3, the gain and resonance climb harder. In bar 4, the filter opens fast. The energy peaks, and then you either cut to a short mute or land on an impact. That last part is important. Sometimes the hardest hitting transition is not the biggest tail. Sometimes it's the sudden absence of sound right before the drop. A tiny silence can hit harder than a long noisy wash, especially in rollers, steppers, and darker jungle sections. Now let's add space, but keep it disciplined. Use reverb and delay carefully. You do not want to wash out the groove. A little space is enough to imply lift. For reverb, a short pre-delay around 10 to 30 milliseconds works well. Decay can sit somewhere around 1.2 to 2.8 seconds depending on how dense the track is. Keep the low end filtered out, and automate the wet amount so it grows toward the end rather than staying constant. For delay, sync it to 1/8 or 1/16 for rhythmic chatter. Keep feedback moderate, and filter the return so it doesn't muddy the low mids. If you want width, widen the return or the upper layer, not the whole source. The dry break fragments should stay mostly centered so the build still hits in mono. That matters a lot in DNB, where the low end and the punch need to stay solid. A nice advanced move is to create a return track just for riser space. Send a little of the edit into it, then automate the send amount through the phrase. That way the dry edit stays punchy and the atmospheric tail blooms around it. It keeps your control really flexible. Once the automation feels right, print it. Resample the output to a new audio track. This is where the old school vibe really starts to show up, because a lot of classic jungle energy comes from multiple generations of resampling and re-editing. The imperfections are not a problem, they are the character. After resampling, trim the silence, consolidate the best section, and add small fades so you don't get clicks. If the final tail feels better reversed, reverse it. If the printed audio inspires you, chop it again and make a second generation edit. That can give you a much more authentic, used, break-driven texture than a pristine one-pass build ever would. Now place it in the arrangement with purpose. This riser should solve a transition problem. Put it before a drop, at the end of a breakdown, after a vocal chop, or right before a bass switch. In jungle, it often feels best when it comes from the break section itself, because then the transition stays tied to the DNA of the track. A practical arrangement could be intro, first groove, breakdown, then the slice riser opens from ghost notes into a snare roll, and finally the drop lands with full drums and bass. That's a really strong, functional use of the idea. Before you call it done, do a few mix checks. Listen in mono. Make sure the sub is not fighting the build. If the riser is getting too sharp, pull down some of the 2 to 5 kHz zone with EQ, and always leave headroom for the actual drop impact. A few common mistakes to watch out for here. One is using too many slices. That makes the riser lose identity. Keep the slice set small and intentional. Another is only automating filter cutoff. That usually sounds incomplete. The best builds combine filter, gain, reverb, density, and sometimes pitch. Another mistake is letting the low end smear. If the riser is muddying the drop, high pass the path or keep the sub completely separate. Also, don't overwiden the whole thing. Keep the core mono compatible, and widen only the air or the return effects. And finally, avoid generic sweeps that ignore the groove. The more the riser sounds like it belongs to the break pattern, the harder it lands. If you want to push this toward darker, heavier DNB, here are a few great upgrades. You can layer a low, filtered re-swell underneath the slice edit, but keep it subtle. That gives it menace without taking over the sub lane. You can also run a parallel dirt layer through saturator, maybe even redux for some controlled bit reduction, then blend it under the clean riser. That adds edge without flattening the transients. Another strong move is to pitch the last snare slice slightly sharp. Even a tiny pitch shift can make the final hit feel more urgent. You can also automate a brief mute right before impact. In a lot of cases, that tiny gap makes the drop hit much harder. And if you want a haunted tail, use echo or delay with dark filtered feedback, so the repeats feel ghostly instead of washed out. Here's a good practice exercise. Give yourself 15 minutes and build one full riser using only stock Ableton tools. Find a 1 to 2 second break. Slice it to a drum rack. Program an 8-bar MIDI phrase that starts sparse and ends dense. Add auto filter, saturator, and utility. Automate cutoff, gain, saturation, and reverb send. Then resample it and re-edit the result into a cleaner 4-bar pre-drop version. Finally, test it against a kick, snare, and sub loop to see if it actually works in context. If you want to go even further, build 3 versions from the same source, 1 old school tension riser, 1 dark modern build, and 1 minimal pre-drop pull. Keep each one under 4 bars, use different automation strategies, and compare them in the same arrangement. That's a brilliant way to learn how much personality automation can create from the same raw break.